Good morning. How good it is to be in this place on this almost the last Sunday of the Easter season. In fact, it is the last Sunday of the Easter season because next Sunday we'll be celebrating Pentecost and celebrating with our confirmands so that we hope that you will be here to celebrate with them. We trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are and share God's love with you, especially now as we are worshiping, some listening from afar and some present here among us, always a good thing. I want to share with you some important announcements before we move into our time of worship. It is indeed Memorial Day weekend, and in the midst of this weekend, we honor and remember those who have paid the ultimate price, who have made the ultimate sacrifice, giving their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms we enjoy. May we never take that for granted. May we never take those who gave their lives for granted either. And while we pray for a day when there will be no more war, we live with the reality of humanity and pray that we will be in the midst of it in a way that honors our God. A reminder also, it is time to sign up for the picnic on the 12th, and I know they've been stressing, please sign up. You don't need to bring any food along this time, but we do need to have a count for the event on the 12th of June, and also wanted to check with you to see how your memories are. Remember, on that Sunday, we are having just one worship service, and it will be at what time?
9:30.
All right. We just don't want anyone to miss the festivities. We want you to be a part of them. All right. A request also. You are aware that during the pandemic, we created hospitality teams to help us deal with the hospitality needs on a Sunday morning a little bit differently than our traditional ushers had been dealing with them. We have decided to continue with our hospitality teams, but we need to bolster the ranks a little bit. Some of the folks who have served for the past, 2 years now, are going to need to move on and do other things. And so if you would like to be a part of a hospitality team, and that would mean once a month being a part of a team that helps to welcome folk on Sunday morning, make sure the offering is brought forward, attend to matters of safety once church has begun, Pastor Addie and I would love to hear from you. We already have 4 solid teams in place, very eager to keep doing what they're doing, but we want to build those troops up just a bit. So please let us know if you'd be willing to serve in the months ahead. And one final announcement. I'm looking for Barb. There's Barb. Barb McMullen would like to share with you a special passion of hers, more timely today as she shares this announcement than when she first made the request a few weeks back. So Barb, please.
I belong to an organization called Moms Demand Action. It's a nationwide organization under Every Town for Gun Safety that was started after the Sandy Hook massacre. I left some literature in the narthex. I'm going to leave some in the library. If you're interested in that, we could use some help. But my announcement today is really about next weekend. Next weekend is called Wear Orange Weekend, and it's to honor the gun violence survivors. This is going to be held in Ambler at the Ambler Borough Hall. The mayor of Ambler, Gene Sorg, is hosting it. It's not a protest. It's not political. It's simply to honor the people whose lives have been changed forever by gun violence. So it's on Sunday, June 5th. It's called Wear Orange. We all wear orange. And it started in 2013 when friends of Hadia Pendleton's, who was killed a week after she performed at President Obama's inaugural parade, was killed. And it's at 3:00 at Amblin Barrow Hall on Sunday, June 5th. It'd be great if some of you could come. Thanks.
Thank you, Barb. I invite you now to join with me in taking a deep breath. Just close your eyes and breathe in the presence of God in our midst, because God is in our midst. Allow that to flow through you and over you. As you breathe out those things that are distracting you, weighing down heavy on your hearts and minds. Give them to God to hold while we come together now to experience God in our midst and to worship. Amen.
Thank you.
Breaking chains, which happens to be our theme for today, is something we all need to attend to at some point in our life. But the kind of chains I'm talking about are not the ones made of steel with links and locks. I'm talking about the kinds of chains that prevent us from being who God has called us to be and doing what God has called us to do. Our fears, our inhibitions, things that dwell in our heads and control our lives. I'm reminded of that every time I remember a story I came upon a number of years ago, and I know I've shared it with you before, but it bears repeating because it challenges us to remember to think carefully about what we hold on to so that we do not find ourselves bound in chains. The story is told of two monks, one old and wise, the other young and inexperienced. As they're journeying one day, they come upon a scene, a young woman clearly in distress. She's beautifully dressed, a princess perhaps, and she is very, very agitated and upset because she cannot climb up into her sedan chair, you know, those chairs that are carried on the shoulders of other human beings, because it is surrounded by mud. It has been raining, and she is beside herself. Her servants can't help her because they're busy holding the chair and holding her many things. The older monk sizes up the situation and springs into action. He runs across the muddied waters, carefully picks her up, and gently places her in the sedan chair. She can barely give him the time of day. She shoves him out of the way because she wants to be on her journey, doesn't even say a word to him. On she goes, and the monks as well continue their journey. But the young monk is troubled. You can see it in his face. Something is bothering him. They walk in silence for quite a while, and then finally the older monk asks him, "What is bothering you? What's troubling you so much?" And the young monk responds, "I can't believe you're not upset by the way that woman treated you. You went out of your way to help her. You climbed into the mud, you lifted her up into the chair. She didn't even have so much as a thank you for you." And the older monk gently but wisely responded, "I set her down hours ago. Why are you still carrying her?" How much do we hold on to? How much do we carry long after we should have set it down? How much binds us in chains long after we should have let it go? One of the many reasons we gather to worship is to be reminded of how we can let go of these kinds of things, be set free by a God who is all about setting us free. And so we come with the monks in mind to worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying our prayer of confession, which is printed on our bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious God, how well you know the chains that bind us are seldom made of steel with links and locks. More often than not, we are bound by our fears, our habits, our addictions, or our insecurities, all of which prevent us from living the lives you have created us to live and being the people you have called us to be. Forgive us for thinking we can go it alone, for pretending the chains don't exist and we are managing just fine. Grant us the courage to allow you to set us free by placing our trust in you, listening for your words, and daring to follow your direction rather than that of the world around us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thankfully, when we confess our sin, God does not hold on to it, not even for a moment, because God is faithful. God is just. God forgives our sin. God wipes the slate clean and gives us the opportunity to begin anew. Afresh. Claim this gift. Allow it to change the way you live and respond to others. share it freely with others. We are forgiven. Amen.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 97. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. Mountains melt like wax before the Lord, before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. All servants of images are put to shame. Those who make their boast in worthless idols, all gods bow down before him. Zion hears and is glad, and the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He guards the lives of his faithful. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. And our next reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that they had become a believer in God. As always, I have a special message to share with our young ones in our midst. I see a few of them. I know some listen from home. And of course, this is a message for everybody. So ears open, tune in. Every year, my family rents a house at the beach, and we look forward to doing a puzzle together. How many of you became puzzlers during the pandemic? I know a lot of you did. I've seen the photos on Facebook. They're fun, right? Well, every year we go to the house and we usually bring a puzzle along, but the most fun is to see what puzzles are at the house already that people have left there over the years. There's usually some interesting ones, to say the least. You never know what you'll find. The only downside of borrowing a puzzle is that you never know if all the pieces are in their box until you're almost done with the puzzle and then you realize that some pieces are missing. And that's pretty frustrating when you've spent hours doing a puzzle. So why am I talking about puzzles? Well, one of our scripture readings this morning, one that we didn't read but you will read as part of your carryout connection for this week, comes from the book of John. And in it, Jesus is talking about being one with God. That he, Jesus, and God are like two pieces of a whole. They fit together, they help complete one another to create a full picture. And that made us immediately think of a puzzle, a whole picture made up of little different pieces. Sometimes talking about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit can get a bit confusing, even for us adults. But I find that thinking of it like a puzzle is helpful. Each piece has value on its own, and we certainly notice when one of the pieces is missing. But we can see a fuller, more complete picture when all the pieces are together. Each piece makes the other piece even clearer, even more important. We, as a church, as a community, as a nation, and even as a world, are a lot like a puzzle too. I was thinking of that this week as we as a nation faced some pretty dark days and lost some of our precious pieces to violence. It is important that you know, children and adults, that each of you matters, that each of you has a place in the puzzle that is St. John's, in the puzzle that is your family, the lives of your friends, your community, your world, and most importantly, you have a place as a piece in one of God's beloved children in the great puzzle. Each of us matters, and each of us helps to create the whole beautiful picture of God's creation. We make one another even more important, and we definitely notice when one of our pieces is missing. Mother Teresa once said, "If we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other." And it's true, we do belong to each other. We are precious gifts to one another. And if we remember that, I know it's challenging, but if we remember that, I have a feeling it would change the way we treat one another. In your May Carry Out Connection bag, the very last thing in there, in fact, since this is the last bag and the last lesson of our school year, you have a puzzle piece to decorate and to send back to us here at church so we can put our St. John's puzzle together. I know I already have two pieces on my desk, which I'm excited about. Just as God and Jesus fit together and help to create a whole picture of who it is that created us and walks beside us and loves us, we too, all of us, fit together and create a whole picture of God's beloved children. That is what being a part of a church is all about. Being a bunch of different unique pieces that have value on our own, but really become something special and complete when we are all together. We hope that as you make your puzzle piece, you will remember that your church family loves you, that you have a place in this puzzle, and that together we can show the world a picture of God's love in a more complete way. As your carry out for the week reminds you, we are one in God. Let's take time to pray together, and then as always, we will join in saying our Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Loving God, just as you and Christ fit together and are a part of one another and belong to one another, we, as members of this church family and as members of the whole human family, belong to one another. We pray that knowing that helps us to be more loving, more accepting, more understanding towards those around us. Remind us, even when it is difficult, that each one of us has value, and each one of us matters to you and to one another. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, in the wonderful quiet and calm of this moment, this place, we are listening, not just with our ears, but with our hearts, our minds, our whole being. Oh God, in the midst of my words, May your word be very clearly heard. Amen. Our lesson today from the book of Acts picks up right where we left off last Sunday. Remember, I reminded you that during the season of Easter, thankfully, every week we have a lesson from Acts, giving us a sense of what life was like in the early church, as the first Christians were trying to sort out how they would do what they were supposed to do and be who they were supposed to be. According to Luke, the author of Acts, Paul and Silas are once again headed to the place of prayer. We know from last week that place of prayer was down by the river, where he had encountered Lydia, who as a result of hearing Paul was converted, baptized, she and her entire family. Well, obviously this was a good place to go because Paul and Silas are headed there yet again. And while they are in this place of prayer on the way, they encounter a slave girl who is described as being possessed by a spirit of divination. That is, the ability to tell fortunes, predict the future, which makes her owners quite happy because she is a source of a tremendous amount of income. But Paul is annoyed by her. She seems to latch herself on to them, calling out, identifying them as followers of Christ, identifying them as those who have a way of salvation to offer, and she won't let them go. Paul becomes so annoyed that we read that he cast out the demon, the spirit that was within her, which solved one problem, but created several others. Because now that she can no longer tell fortunes, she is of no value to her owners. I wonder, what did they do about that? Did they sell her? Did they treat her badly? And what became of her? Now that she has no source of income and no one to care for her, and I asked some deeper questions about this woman, and quite frankly, feel a bit of disappointment about how Paul responded to her. Today we might say that she possessed, well, an evil spirit, but more likely we'd say that she was mentally ill. And sadly, mentally ill people are often treated the way Paul treats her. He's annoyed by her. He's embarrassed by her. He sort of wants her to get out of the way. Somebody make her go away. And so he makes her go away, but doesn't offer her compassion, doesn't offer her kindness. Yes, he casts out the evil spirit, but doesn't do so out of a desire for her well-being, does so out of a desire for his own well-being. And I just want to invite you to think about that for a moment, because for the woman, there is no happy ending that we're aware of. Yet when we encounter the Philippian jailer, whom we will encounter in a moment, there is a very happy ending to his story. And I feel badly as I think about the woman and how we still today, rather than seeking to understand those who deal with mental health issues, really want to just make them go away because they're annoying. Hold on to that as Paul and Silas attempt to go on to their journey, but of course cannot, because the slave girl's owners are really pretty angry at this point. They've lost their source of income, so what do? They go to the local magistrates, and they say, these guys they're disrupting the peace. They're not one of us. They don't belong around here. Lock them up. And they lock them up. In fact, without question. And not only do they lock them up, they throw them into the innermost cell and lock their feet in the stocks to guarantee that they will have no chance of escape, no chance to get away. As we read on, we discover that it is about midnight in the prison. And what are Paul and Silas doing? They're praying. And they're singing. And of course, our first thought is praying and singing in prison, but come to think of it, at midnight, I'm not so sure I'd want to be sleeping in a prison. Probably best to be awake. And if you need some comfort and reassurance, yes, best to be praying and singing the hymns of the church. And then I was reminded of my own life and of the fact that when things are dark and difficult, what do? I pray fervently. I pray not so much for myself. I pray for everyone I can think of, anyone, anything that will lift me out of the dark place where I am. And I sing the hymns of the church that have been indelibly etched on my mind and on my heart. You might say that it is my deep, dark hole playlist. And it includes hymns like "Great is Your Faithfulness," "I Love to Tell the Story," "Won't You Let Me Be Your Servant," "Peace Like a River," "Here I Am, Lord," "In the Bulb There Is a Flower," "How Great Thou Art." I'm wondering, do you have a deep, dark hole place list, playlist, one filled with hymns that you can sing by heart, that are automatically a part of you, that lift you out of those dark places? If you don't, I would encourage you to create one, because you may need it someday. Hopefully not in the deep, dark cell of a prison, but oftentimes we are bound by other things in life that have nothing to do with a jail or chains or walls. At 12 o'clock midnight, not only are they singing and praying, but an earthquake occurs. Not a miraculous event, earthquakes occurred in that part of the world, but the timing, of course, is significant. And it is one nasty earthquake, shakes things so vehemently that all the doors in the prison fly open, all of the chains are loosed, all of the prisoners are set free, and the jailer is awakened from his nap. And when he realizes what has happened, he pulls his sword to kill himself. Why? Because he knows that if the prisoners have escaped, he is as good as dead. But immediately Paul calls out and assures him, "We're all here. No one has left. We're right here, and you're okay." Which prompts the jailer to respond with a question: "What must I do to be saved?" The answer comes quickly and simply: "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." And the jailer does. And then what we read sounds very familiar. Not only is the jailer baptized, his entire family is baptized. Do you remember last Sunday when we focused in on Lydia and her entire family being baptized? I pointed out that the whole household being baptized is one of the rationales behind what we in our Christian tradition practice, and that is the infant baptism, or baptism of little ones who do not speak for themselves when they are baptized, but are spoken for by their parents and family members, for whom this is so important that they vow, they promise to share their faith with their children as they grow, as they learn. On that night in the prison, no one required any of the jailer's family to pass a test, to study long and memorize things. No, they were baptized because they wanted to be. No strings attached. Last Sunday, we also had the wonderful baptism of a little baby to visually remind us there wasn't a thing she had to do to earn the gift. It was given freely. But that doesn't mean the gift is to be taken lightly. It needs to be claimed. Two other times in the book of Acts, we read of entire households being baptized, in the case of Cornelius and also in the case of Crispus. Four different instances in which entire households are baptized because one family member steps up, believes, and claims the faith that is going to change his or her life. You know, jokingly, my husband Bob has been known to tell people that he married me because he figured it would grant him a free ticket to heaven, that it would rub off on him somehow and he wouldn't have to worry. And while I certainly hope that my faith and my belief is contagious enough to impact Bob, he knows as well as I do that when it comes to faith, yes, it is a gift, but we have to claim it. We have to want it. We have to let it change our lives and not just the lives of those around us. Entire households were baptized, yes. Congregations with people and little ones are baptized. But the expectation is that the freedom that was paid for by someone else will be claimed and taken seriously. We think of that when we, as people of faith, accept what Christ offers. He paid a high price. In fact, it cost him his life. He chose to give his life, not forced, chose because he loved us so much. We are free because of the price he paid. We think of that also in the midst of this Memorial Day weekend, knowing all too well that we are free as a people because of the price that was paid by many over the years, unfortunately in the face of war. Lives given, the ultimate sacrifice made, so that we might enjoy the freedoms we enjoy today. And then I think of all the events of this past week and realize, yes, freedom comes with a cost. If we claim freedom, we must also claim responsibility. I was reminded of that in particular as I read a beautiful poem written by Amanda Gorman. You may recognize that name, poet laureate who became known to many of us back in January as she read a beautiful poem she had written for the inauguration of our president. The poem she wrote this last week is entitled Hymn for the Hurting. And I want to share with you a part of it because it reminds us that freedom is not free and that while it is given to us, we must never ever take it for granted, but must claim it and live it. Some of the lyrics of the poem she wrote, may we not just grieve, but give. May we not just ache, but act. May our signed right to bear arms never blind our sight from shared harm. May we choose our children over chaos. May another innocent life never be lost. Maybe everything hurts, our hearts shadowed and strange, but only when everything hurts may everything change. Let me read that part again. Maybe everything hurts, our hearts shadowed and strange, but only when everything hurts may everything change. My prayer is that we will recognize the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus, the freedom that is ours as Christians living as we do in this beautiful country, as human beings responsible for one another, our sisters and brothers' keepers. The gift is free. It is real, but we must claim it and we must live it. We must live it in a way that makes a difference, that comes with a cost, or we will never be free at last. Amen.
Thank you.
be seated. As we switch our gears and move into a time of prayer, I have some joys and concerns that have been written in our book and shared with us throughout the week. We have quite a few birthdays coming up. Today, Kevin Crail and Kristen Crail Gamble celebrate their birthday, as does Michelle Forsythe. Tomorrow, Suzanne celebrates a birthday, and so does Andrew. So happy birthdays all around. And we do have some concerns to lift up. It, of course, goes without saying that we keep all the victims and families impacted by the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, in our prayers. And we also keep in our prayers all who have been impacted by gun violence. I think the events of this past week have made us aware of how often this occurs, near and far. It has impacted so many. And so we keep all of them in our prayers this day. We also keep in our prayers the family of Tom Fisher. Many of you may know Tom and Mary. They moved to Florida a few years ago. Tom passed away on May 3rd in Naples, Florida. His celebration of life will take place at some point in late July, and we will, of course, keep you updated with dates and times for that. But in the meantime, we keep Mary and all of Tom's family and loved ones in our prayers. We also keep Linda Horst in our prayers, who has spent some time this past week in Lansdale Hospital. Bearing in mind, of course, that we all come to this time of prayer with our own joys and concerns. We've got situations and faces and friends and family on our own hearts and minds. And so I invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God together in prayer. God of hope, we live in a world desperately in need of your love now more than ever. As we stay busy trying to distract ourselves from the pain that fills our news and our hearts, we are so painfully aware that hope does not always come easily. So many are crying out for healing in a broken world. So many face this day with broken hearts, with grief-sick souls, and an emptiness that consumes. God, we pray that you surround them, surround us with your hope. Make us mindful and sensitive to the hurt that surrounds us. In the wake of the events this past week in Uvalde, Texas, we pray for families and loved ones dealing with the impossible. We pray this day especially for children, those who are having to navigate and understand what no child should have to, little ones who struggle to find answers, peace, happiness, fulfillment, security, in the face of fear and anxiety brought on by a world that so often fails them. God, on this Memorial Day weekend, we pray for those who courageously lay down their lives for the cause and cost of freedom. May we thank them by never taking that for granted. And may we use that freedom to add more love, more peace, more empathy, more compassion to our world. God, we pray for victims of domestic violence, those for whom home is not a safe place, those who endure pain and abuse and long for peace and healing. We pray for people who live in the grips of their own or a loved one's substance abuse or mental health struggles, those who seek an escape, who ache to feel better, who despair at seeing no way out and no way forward. We pray for those dear to us who struggle with illness, who desire comfort in the face of constant pain, who wait and wait and wait for healing. We pray for worshiping communities of all faiths that seek to heal the world, all those who preach love in the face of hate, peace in the face of violence, all those who welcome the stranger as a friend, who work to better themselves and share their blessings with others. We pray for those who are experiencing home and food insecurity, those who hunger and thirst literally, and those who hunger and thirst for justice, for security, for people to acknowledge them and help them. We pray for all those who are grieving, those who have lost loved ones recently, who ache for the loss of children, parents, grandparents, and other family members and friends, those who find that this is a difficult time where joy is hard to find. God, in the midst of our own community, we lift up those experiencing all of life's joys and concerns. We bear in mind, especially this day, Kevin and Kristen, Michelle and Sue and Andrew, as they celebrate life and as they celebrate their birthdays. God, we ask that you be with Linda, that you surround her with healing and comfort. We ask that you be with Mary and all of Tom Fisher's beloved family members and friends as they mourn his passing and celebrate his life. And God, we take time now to lift up all the joys, concerns, the many prayers on our own hearts this day. God, hear our prayers. We are counting on you being a God of hope, a God of mercy, a God of steadfast love. Make those gifts known to us this day in very real ways, that we might share them as gifts with others. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
When you arrived for worship this morning, I trust you noticed the offering plates by the entrances and have placed your offering there. We pause now to dedicate those gifts, to ask God's blessing on them and us as we stand together to sing our doxology. O God, breath of glad surprise, giver of every good and perfect gift, we pause now to say thank you for the very gift of life, for the gift of this church family, for the gift of those who have given lives so that we might be free, for the gift of Christ among us, giving us life, the life that really is life. God, as we offer these our gifts, we ask you to bless them. Please guide us as we seek to use them in ways that make a true difference, that touch lives, that solve problems, that share generosity with those who need it most. May we be faithful stewards in the way we live, in the way we love, in the way we serve, and in the way we give. Not just here and now, but in all of life. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh,
For freedom, Christ has set us free. So go out into the world this day and use the freedom that you have in Christ to make a difference in this world, to touch lives, to help set others free. And as you do, may the light of God surround you, the love of God enfold you, the power of God protect you, and the peace of God remain ever with you. Amen.